Yo, what's happening, everybody? My name is Anthony Carenti, and thank you, as always, for checking out another episode of the Dynasty Drive. I appreciate all of the support, as always. Again, apologies for the little bit of a wonky schedule here in terms of recording output, but we're back on schedule here, have a new episode, and a couple different things I wanted to cover here. But before we get into it, just a reminder, if you're not already, you can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive. The vast majority of the time, we've got new episodes of this podcast every Friday morning. We'll get back on an even schedule with that here. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram at the Dynasty Drive. You can like the show on Facebook. And if you're not already, please make sure to head on over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard where you can become a member of the Rookie Big Board premium services for as low as $3 a month. It's the exclusive place of my Dynasty rankings, but you can get consensus Dynasty rankings from myself, Ryan Searfoss, and Eric Adams from the Dynasty Big Board, as well as Matt Hicks's Rookie Big Board, John Lobb's Devy rankings, consensus Devy rankings from myself and Skip Newton. So a ton of stuff over there. If you're not already, you definitely want to make sure you become a member. But here on this podcast, we're going to do a little bit of mix of everything today, talking some college players, some current NFL stuff, how we're going to react to certain things that are going on early in these seasons, respectively, both college and NFL. And we'll get right into it. So a couple weeks back or months back, following the NFL draft and predating the start of this 2022 NFL season, I went and did an episode for some of the top fives or top, you know, few prospects for fantasy purposes at their respective positions heading into the college football season. So I thought a couple weeks in or a few weeks in for college, this might be a good logical place to kind of check in, see if anything's changing already, if something is notable that's occurred or occurring currently that we need to continue to monitor. Always good to kind of check in on that throughout the season so you're ready come draft time. So let's kick things off. We'll keep it light. We'll keep it fast because there's other NFL stuff I wanted to touch on too on this show. But talking about the wide receiver position, coming into it and coming into the season, I think the top two in some order for a lot of people were and probably still are Ohio State's Jaxon Smith-Njigba and LSU's Kayshon Boutte. JSN has been banged up and Kayshon Boutte has been a little disappointing. I know we're not expected to see him this week. I believe he's not playing for the potential birth of his child, so always a valid reason to miss a football game for sure. But Boutte's season has been a little bit disappointing thus far. Look, he's still got all the talent in the world, but hasn't gone over, you know, 45 games receiving in a season. It was 2 catches for 20 yards week one against Florida State, 5 catches for 42 yards, and then 3 catches for 31 yards. No touchdowns on the season yet. He's got 10 catches for 93 yards, no touchdowns. So not the game-breaking, electric sort of stuff that has kind of sort of become synonymous with his name. He's an electric player for sure. He's capable of taking it the distance at any given time, but we just haven't seen it so far yet this year. And JSN has been nicked up, and it's funny with Ohio State, there's such talent in the wide receiver room there that it's like, I'm not trying to make the implication that Jaxon Smith-Njigba has become an afterthought there, but Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Egbuka have really played well in that offense led by CJ Stroud. And, I don't want us to start overthinking JSN yet because I think it's still going to be him who's wide receiver one when this is all said and done for me. But it's just funny, you know, next man up there when the next man is another five-star. It's easy for the wheels to keep rolling on that train. The other three guys that I mentioned at wide receiver a month, 2 months back, whenever that episode was USC wide receiver Jordan Addison, of course, from Pitt a year ago, Josh Downs from North Carolina, and Quentin Johnston. I think the biggest takeaway with these three guys is that Jordan Addison continues to be very good. He's an explosive focal point of that Trojans offense and is proving that that year at Pitt was no fluke. Still wins a lot out of the slot, but nothing wrong with that. And I think he's going to be somebody that's pretty coveted at the next level. It's hard to even say moving up because he's kind of staying pat for where I had him. But I think he's going to be moving up in the eyes of a lot of people. In the draft community, the fantasy community, this season is going to do a lot to kind of solidify that top tier stock. And Downs and Johnston, Downs is kind of who we thought he was, and Johnston's kind of in the situation we thought he was. Quentin Johnston, I think, was always going to remain more projection than anything else, just based on quarterback play around him. You know, you hope the stats pile up, but Quentin Johnston's still somebody I really like, somebody that I think has a chance to be, you know, a top three or even top two wide receiver, depending on what a team's looking for and depending on what you really value in the position. So in terms of players moving up, moving down, I don't know that anybody's really leapt into this group yet that wasn't in that top five already. Still a ton of interesting players at wide receiver outside of these five, too. Zay Flowers is one for me that I'm pretty high on still. And it's just, it's going to be another very good group, but I think it's going to be pretty tough for anybody to break into this group ahead of some of the others. At running back, Bijan's the guy. Look, I refuse for this to ever get to the point where Bijan Robinson starts getting overthought. He is an elite talent. The clear 101 in non-superflex formats next year, I don't really think there's anything that's going to change my mind on that. Is as advertised, total weapon in the pass game. Guys that big should not move like him. Don't overthink it. Bijan, good at football. You've almost seen what you need to see, right? There's nothing that can really change your mind now. And Jahmyr Gibbs was the guy that we talked about next, who I think has been what you've expected him to be as a receiver for the Crimson Tide. His receiving ability has been on full display and kind of in the absence of anybody really stepping up and making a big, strong stranglehold on the, you know, receiving work there for the Tide this season. Gibbs and his receiving ability have kind of filled that role nicely. Not the huge, you know, numbers you'd maybe expect from an Alabama back in terms of pure rushing output, but his receiving ability and ability to play on all three downs is what makes him so highly valuable. Kind of not that he's the same player as Bijan Robinson, but similar to him in that these are three down weapons. And Jahmyr Gibbs is really going to be tough to knock out of this running back two spot. There's a, you know, world where it happens, but I just think that receiving ability for him is too good to pass up and is going to be too good for a lot of people to pass up come rookie draft time. And the three backs after those two that we talked about a few months back were Zach Evans from Ole Miss, Sean Tucker from Syracuse, and Tank Bigsby. Sean Tucker's popped at points, and I really like the player. I think he's going to have a really good year when it's all said and done. It's just, you know, the efficiency isn't maybe quite what it was, but he's a really good runner. He's shown off a little bit in the past game already. Tank Bigsby, you know, is Tank Bigsby and Zach Evans. Like, these guys haven't really changed, I don't think, the narrative on them at all to this point. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just too early for there really to be any, you know, sweeping changes at the running back position for me, especially at the top. Frankly, it's one of those situations where I don't know if anything can happen all year long at the top that knocks Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs out of that one and two spot, respectively. Now, quarterback C.J. Stroud is, I don't want to say locking himself in as QB1, but it's been, the conversation has been C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young for quite some time. Stroud's got the stats so far this year. For me, Bryce Young is just, I know that you're hanging your hat on a guy with like outlier size. He's small, but just makes looking quarterback look so fluid and natural, and I think he's a very, very high-level talent for the position. Stroud's going to have some more measurables, like in terms from size and certain things he can do, and I don't really think you can go wrong with either one of those guys. The biggest questions for me here at quarterback in 2023 and beyond is kind of who does and who doesn't declare. We've seen the kind of roller coaster that's Anthony Richardson from Florida, super raw, but tools for days. Can be really, really exciting, especially from a fantasy football perspective based on what he can contribute as a runner. He's a powerful, powerful runner. But does he declare this year? Like, it's way too early to tell for sure. He can, but if I had to bet right now, I think I might bet that he doesn't declare. And Tyler Van Dyke at Miami, another one who, you know, we've seen flashes from, but no guarantee to declare. The biggest name that I think we didn't mention when we first started talking, you know, early top five guys to monitor from rookie perspective was, I don't recall, and I couldn't see it in my notes, so if I did, I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to go back and scan the episode, but I don't think we talked Will Levis from Kentucky. Will Levis is somebody that I think the NFL is really, really going to like. He's got some, you know, I don't even want to call them necessarily accuracy issues per se, but he's got to rein it in at points. But it's going to have a lot of people pulling for him based on what he can offer from an arm talent perspective. He's the one I would feel best about declaring and penciling in as a first-round quarterback right now outside of Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. And at tight end, you know, it's Michael Mayer and nobody else until 2024 when, I don't want to say nobody else, but you know, nobody that you're getting excited about really early in fantasy drafts besides the elite or borderline elite tight end prospect from Notre Dame. He's going to be a very good player from early on in his career. Another one that it's, you know, you don't have to overthink it. That one is going to be pretty, pretty easy. So that's just some quick thoughts on kind of early state of college football, early kind of quick hit updates on guys we talked about recently on this podcast. Going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back in 1 second with a couple of takeaways from the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. All right, we're back, and we've got a couple week two takeaways that I wanted to bring up on the podcast here. And first one I wanted to get into is this 2022 wide receiver class, this crop of rookies, is as advertised, especially at the top. I got to say, coming into it, my top three wide receivers pre-draft were Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, Drake London from USC, and Chris Olave from Ohio State. And these guys are, they're balling out. There's no other way to put it. Garrett Wilson had his coming out party in week two for the Jets against the Browns. Had a big, big game. He's got 22 targets on the season now, 12 catches, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns. Drake London is getting all the work he can handle there, 13 catches for a 160 and a touchdown. And Olave has 8 catches for 121 yards. No scores on the season, but he's got 16 targets. So these guys are getting targeted. You know, it's, again, a two-game sample size, but they're getting targeted at a clip that you could be really, really excited about. If you spent, you know, a mid-round or an early first-round rookie pick on any of these receivers, I feel really good about these guys. And listen, that's no slight to say I don't feel really good about the players right behind them either. Treylon Burks has been very good. You know, 7 catches, 102 yards for him. Over 14 and a half yards per reception so far, and is getting featured in a way that I thought there could be some question about. Jahan Dotson has 3 touchdowns on the year already. Doesn't have quite the same target volume as some of the other guys, and he's scored 3 touchdowns on 7 catches, which isn't sustainable, but hey, he's getting valuable looks in the red zone early on in his career, and it's only going to help keep him more and more involved. I don't want to say the biggest disappointment, because it's not a disappointment. We always knew there was going to be patience. You'd hope for some, you would have hoped for some more of George Pickens in the first 2 weeks for the Packers. I'm recording this as the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game is going on, and Pickens has made some plays. But look, you're going to have to be a little more patient with Pickens than guys like Burks, Olave, London, and Wilson that didn't have a ton. They had a much easier path to playing time, right? George Pickens was always entering a situation behind Deontay Johnson with Chase Claypool, Najee Harris in the backfield, Pat Freiermuth there, and an offense that, you know, I don't want to say we knew they were going to be stubborn, but, you know, Matt Canada as a play caller with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, it was always going to be a little interesting to see how it all played out. Still, the future is bright, and that's not to mention, you know, guys that there's still plenty of hope for. We haven't seen much from Alec Pierce, Khalil Shakir, David Bell, Sky Moore, Wandale Robinson's been a little banged up. There's still a lot of young, exciting guys that we haven't seen anything from yet, or not much of anything. This class could be really, really good when it's all said and done, and especially at the top for guys that you probably drafted in, you know, the first 6 or 7 picks of rookie drafts this year. It's hard to not be excited, especially with Garrett Wilson, Drake London, and Chris Olave. I've been really, really, really excited about what the three of them have been able to do through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. So first big takeaway post first 2 weeks of the NFL season, the 2022 rookie wide receiver class is as advertised. Second thing we want to talk about is at the running back position, it's more clear than ever, I feel like, that there's the top handful of guys, and then it's just, I don't want to say it's a mess, But things get so subjective with who you want to put where, how you want to rank them. For me, it's still easy that, you know, Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift are the two best, the two highest ranked dynasty running backs for me. But out of that, man, it's like some of these guys, we need to get, see them on the field or need to see them produce more. Travis Etienne is somebody that I had ranked as a top 15 running back at the start of the NFL season. And look, it seems like James Robinson is going to be a lot more involved this year than maybe a lot of people planned. I thought it could be wheels up on a close, not, I don't want to say a workhorse kind of role for Etienne, but that he would be the guy there. And James Robinson is getting plenty of work where it looks like that's going to be kind of his de facto role early on, and it's more of a committee situation than people would have liked. Now, the future could still be bright, but, you know, if you were counting on Etienne as a high-end running back two or, you know, a fringe running back one, I don't know if that ceiling's there. And it's easy to kind of bump these young guys up in rankings, guys like Etienne and Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins and players like that, but Cam Akers is still, I guess, the running back you want from that backfield, but Darrell Henderson's been involved, and Cam Akers hasn't been particularly good. Still plenty of time for him to turn it around, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't panicked. We want to see J.K. Dobbins out there and healthy. I understand the team wanted to take their time and keep him make sure he's healthy before he returns. But I think we're pretty quick to try and find that next guy, especially at running back, that, oh, this is the next great runner. And even Breece Hall, you know, Breece Hall's been great, but it's been more of a Breece Hall, Michael Carter committee through first 2 weeks than I would have expected. And I'm somebody that expected Michael Carter to remain involved. I know the Jets like Michael Carter a lot, but, you know, I didn't expect them to rotate them as much as they are maybe this early on. And they're still mixing in somebody like Ty Johnson. So, yeah, I think the ceiling for Breece Hall is still top 12 back, especially in Dynasty. But going to need to be a little more patient with him and a lot of these young runners. It's almost in a weird way, like outside of the top 12, when you get to that running back, like 13, 14, all the way through down to like 20, 21, it gets a little easier when you get to that spot. So it's like, all right, you feel good about penciling guys like Tony Pollard in that area, or, you know, Josh Jacobs in that area, or David Montgomery, stuff like that. It gets harder with some of the young guys because there's just more projection both in role and maybe in, you know, the actual output for somebody like Etienne, who was hurt all last year, or like Ken Walker, who we haven't seen a ton of, or people returning from injury like J.K. Dobbins. So running back feels like it has more question marks than ever. A lot of questions could get answered by a really strong 2023 class, like we mentioned early on in the show, but be interesting to see how that all shakes out. And then the third thing is at quarterback. You know, the youth, the top is the top, right? Like Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, Justin Herbert, these guys are elite. And I went the route of this year a lot, like, I don't want to say fading quarterback, but trying to kind of address with, you know, that older tier of quarterbacks, the Matt Staffords, the Tom Brady's, just to try and kind of hammer home other positions early on. Few guys that I'll say right now looks like we're ranked way too low. Number one, I'll be eating some crow on this, is Jalen Hurts. Look, the problem with Jalen Hurts for me has always been, it seemed like, I don't want to say like crazy unlikely, but the path for them moving on from him always felt very real. He's looked phenomenal in the first 2 weeks, like a full-blown superstar. So if he can play at this clip, he's obviously not going to be in danger of losing his job there. And with all the weapons he has around him and his athletic ability, it's hard to not get excited about. So Jalen Hurts is somebody I've been too low on in the past. Even at the start of this NFL season, he was ranked outside my top 12 dynasty quarterbacks. He'll be moving up, especially following, you know, the Trey Lance injury, which is a bummer, and you know, the still ongoing Deshaun Watson suspension, and other players, you know, right in that kind of same tier there, like, you know, what do we do with Justin Fields? So Jalen Hurts is somebody that'll be moving up. I feel confident to say at my next rankings update, will be firmly placed in the top 12. And somebody else I think that got a lot of maybe hates too strong, but people were maybe not super enamored with this offseason when drafting them, was Carson Wentz for the the Washington Commanders. Carson Wentz is the ultimate, like, you're going to take your medicine, right? Because it's not going to feel real good to to draft Carson Wentz or to play him. But he's been on fire from a fantasy perspective for the first couple weeks. Somebody that finishes the quarterback 15 last year when he played for the Colts. And you didn't have to pay quarterback 15 prices for him. He's somebody I still feel really good as my quarterback 2 in Superflex leagues, because I think he's going to have to throw the ball like this a lot this year. And there'll be some turnovers, but he'll put the ball in the end zone some to balance that out. So Carson Wentz is like, you're not going to feel great about putting him in your lineup, but the results are probably going to outweigh what you have to pay a lot of the time, and certainly what you had to pay during the course of the offseason. And quarterback's interesting though, because there's not a, you know, the top guys, man, are just so fun to watch. I know that sounds like boilerplate, easy to process or easy to spot stuff, but Josh Allen's an alien. Patrick Mahomes is everything we thought he was. Lamar's electric. Herbert is, you know, a grown man out there. The young quarterbacks at the top, Joe Burrow has had a rough go of it so far. Hopefully the offensive line can protect him there a little bit, but there's a lot to be excited about in terms of young quarterbacks, not to mention Trevor Lawrence, who's playing like the top 12 fantasy quarterback that, you know, we hoped he could be. So I think it's a really positive sign for him, and probably holds standing pretty firm right around where I had him ranked at the beginning of the season, which was quarterback 10. But Lawrence has looked good so far, and that's a really encouraging sign. And at tight end, you know, tight ends, man. I know it's too early to panic on Pitts. Let's put that out there. I keep seeing it floated, you know, buy low on Kyle Pitts. Show me the person selling low on Kyle Pitts. And if they exist, I guess float some offers. But you can't, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I play in a lot of leagues. I know we all play in a lot of leagues. But I haven't seen the person who's yet to be able to actually successfully, quote unquote, buy low on Kyle Pitts. I think that's something that exists more in theory than in practice. So you can't sell him. If you have him, hold on to him. He's going to be just fine. Outside of that, you know, there hasn't been a ton of changes at tight end. So just some quick thoughts following the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. Needed to get an episode out there. I know it's been a little bit and it's been a little spotty, but now that things have settled down a little bit, we'll start getting into a routine of talking in depth a little bit more about these potential 2023 rookies, keeping updated on college football. We'll do some trade mailbag stuff soon. I want to get to that on the next show. So I appreciate everybody tuning back in. I appreciate you hanging with us through a kind of a wonky summer at times with some vacations and trips and just not really having a chance with real work stuff getting in the way of this more fun stuff. But we're getting back on schedule here. I appreciate all of the support as always. If you're not already, you can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive, and we'll be back next week with another episode of the show. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.